This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Arizona Party Rental and Cool Breeze Air Solutions.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Good morning, everybody. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronson. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeff.
That's right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this grand old tome of wisdom and entertainment off of iTunes.
I don't know how old it is.
Well, it's three and a half years old.
So it's kind of old.
Yeah, but speaking of age.
Yes.
And youthful age.
Oh, yes. Thank you. You just got yourself out of trouble.
It is our dear mother, our only listener's birthday.
Yeah, well, one of the two listeners, Mom and Dad, listen. So, Mom, happy birthday. We want to wish you a very happy, happy, happy birthday. Right, Fred?
That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct, Jeffrey.
So, what'd you get Mom for her birthday?
Well, I can't tell you because we're giving her stuff tonight.
Oh.
And if she's listening, she'll know that she's getting...
Well, I was just trying to get you in trouble.
Oh, no. No, you know, your mom and dad have made it very easy for us chillins to get them stuff because they...
They only want two things.
Yeah.
Our love and a gift certificate to Borders Books or something.
Amazon.
Amazon, right. Amazon.
For their Kindles.
Which is terrible. They should be... buying books at local bookshops, darn it, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, I think they're trying to get rid of all their books. I mean, they have, like, tons of books on their Kindles now.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, but see, this is the way we're going, Jeffrey.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, all my books that I do, I mean, I have some books that I want to hold in my hand.
But. Oh, speaking of books, so remember the Wiener Schnitzel Weichsmark thing last week? In the desert. Remember the...
Yeah, Jill Bowman came on and talked about her Wiener Schnickel thing.
No, Weinigsmart.
Oh, Weinigsmart. Is that
yeah,
what it
was? It was the big fundraiser for her school.
Right.
Fantastic time. The kids went, and they said it was over... Too much fun. Overjoyed with fun. They had, you know, like organic cotton candy. They just... They really, really, really had a great time. Well, speaking of books, my little boy takes after his mom because he won the silent auction gift.
Yeah.
And the silent auction gift was books. He won books. So he's over the moon happy that he won some books.
So what kind of books are these? German language?
No, they're good. They're just kids' books. They're books that Larry really wanted. But very cool that he was able to get those. And I guess it was a rousing success. Kind of like all the stuff that's been going on here locally, for goodness sakes. I mean, there have been so many fun things going on in Tucson.
It just doesn't stop.
Yeah, today's the last day of the 4th Avenue Winter Street Fair.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're out there looking for something to do today, head out to the 4th Avenue Street Fair, the Winter Street Fair, because they've got a boatload of crafts and arts and crafts booths. You know, so if you're looking for something fun for one of your friends or family, you probably might find it down there.
Now, here is another Tucson tradition that you cannot miss. It's the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus, an international holiday concert.
That's a tradition.
That is a tradition, and it's today. There's two shows. There's a matinee at 3 and an evening performance at 7:30 at the U of A School of Music at Crowder Hall. And Dr. Julian Ackerley will be leading these guys. These young men are ambassadors in blue jeans.
So I always love that little term, the ambassadors in blue jeans.
Yeah, it's great. So if you want to go check out, I mean, this is like one of the things that really gets the holidays kick-started is listening to the boys' chorus singing all the holiday tunes.
Absolutely. And don't forget, Fred, our lovely guest of the shows last week from Downtown Tucson Partnership, Caitlin and Brandy, want to remind everybody that next weekend, next Saturday, this coming Saturday, is the Downtown Parade of Lights. So don't forget, head on downtown for the Parade of Lights on Saturday. It will be a grand, grand time.
Yeah, and here's last minute shoppers. If you've not yet received or picked up your Christmas tree, the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus has their Christmas lot. And this year it's located at Broadway and Wilmont.
Yeah, it's not at Elkhorn Mall anymore.
Yeah, they're with all the construction going on at Elkhorn, they had to move it. But it's over at Broadway and Wilmont on the northeast corner. Go and pick up your boys' chorus Christmas tree and tell them the friend Jeff sent you. And they'll say, who?
I thought you were going to say they would give you a kick in the pants.
Oh, maybe that too.
And coming up on Thursday the 19th, is the Swingin' Christmas at the Fox Theater, a new holiday show that's destined to become a classic. So a Swingin' Christmas is this Thursday at the Fox. And
the last thing, Jeffrey.
No, we got more.
Oh, okay.
We got more,
okay.
Fred.
All right.
We got lots more. I mean, we even have Mamma Mia, Broadway in Tucson is flipping from the fabulous show that we just saw the other day.
American Idiot?
Yeah, Green Day, American Idiot, which, right. You know, I'm sure was a great show. A lot of people enjoyed it, but it wasn't my cup of tea. But it was well attended, and I think the kids that put it on were really talented. But something more along the lines of my daughter and my wife, starting on the 27th, Broadway in Tucson is Mamma Mia. So if you haven't
Mamma
seen,
Mia.
That's it. If you haven't seen Mamma Mia, head on down to U of A Centennial Hall. It's going to be, they'll be performing from the 27th to the 29th. And also, don't forget your farmers markets. And then the big one, and I just found out about this one a couple days ago, and I'm pretty excited about it, because, you know, we're a big train family. Larry loves trains.
Oh, not the musical group Train.
No, not the musical group Train, though they do have some classic hits. I'm talking about the Holiday Express with Santa downtown at the historic train depot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to happen on Saturday the 21st. So next Saturday on the 21st, Santa comes to our historic train depot. It's going to be a lot of fun. So 4 p.m., reading of the Polar Express. Santa will be down there. And again, we don't know if this is the real Santa or not, because Caitlin and the kids at the Downtown Tucson Partnership claim that the real Santa is going to be with them. But the Fort Little Depot, super duper fun.
Oh, you know, speaking of Santa, Santa is going to be conducting the Tucson Symphony Orchestra on the 21st and 22nd.
Super fun.
At the Tucson Symphony Orchestra Christmas Pops program.
Oh, yeah, that's down at the TCC.
At the Music Hall.
Yeah, and that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's going to be some ballet. There's going to be Santa. The boys' chorus is going to be there. And obviously the symphony performing some really great holiday.
Yeah, it really favorites. Gets you in the holiday cheer. And the last one I have is La Fiesta de Guadalupe, which is at the De Grazia Gallery in the Sun up on North Swan Road, 6300 North Swan. The Fiesta de Guadalupe, and that's an annual festival honoring Mexico's patron saint with music, dancing, and performances including mariachis, folklorico, and a yaqui deer dancer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so check out that. That is today, December 15th, at the De Gracia Gallery of the Sun at 6300 North Swan. So, Fred.
Jeff.
Tons and tons and tons of stuff to do in the
open. But I have my last one. My one last thing was, for those of you who are interested in, you know, looking forward to the next year, Tucson Roller Derby has their 2014 Roller Girl calendar available.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. So, lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, by the way, what do you got cooking for New Year's? I mean, New Year's is right around the corner.
Oh, Jeffrey, my brother.
We got the Tucson Jazz Society is going to be putting on their big gala.
Yeah, but we're going to focus on downtown, I think, a little bit with this one, because Caitlin's going to be back. Caitlin Jensen from Tucson Downtown Partnership.
Right.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks, and we're going to be talking all things New Year's Eve going on downtown Tucson. I mean, there's going to be stuff across the valley. But we want people focused on the downtown, because there's going to be some phenomenal things going on.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
that's awesome.
Something to look forward to in a couple of weeks.
Oh, and by the way, did you get out to see Xanadu yet?
Xanadu.
I just wanted to hear you sing Xanadu.
Oh, okay.
All right, buddy. So,
hey, and let's get some of the way before we head out of here.
Sure. So what do you want to give away?
Let's give away a $25 gift card to Peter Jungle.
All right. So the first person that emails Fred at fredandjeff.com wins a $25 gift card to Peter Jungle, either the one at Broadway in Craycroft or the brand new location up at Oracle and Ina. Peter Jungle.
Awesome.
So all right, Britt.
We'll be back in a few.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and somehow I've managed to lose my little brother Jeffrey. He's no longer with us, but our dad is here, Jim Ronstadt. How are you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, Fred. How are you?
Good. So we have left the confines of our happy studio and are over at Tucson's own Reed Park Zoo, enjoying just a wonderful day out here with Jason Jacobs, who is the new zoo administrator. And Jason, you've been here since about August, right?
Yeah, I arrived the first week of August here at Tucson, and I came from the Los Angeles Zoo where I had spent the previous 8 years.
Oh, wow. So what were you doing over there?
I was the director of development and marketing, but I've worked in the zoo industry for about 20 years now. I started off at the zoo in Miami.
And you were shoveling excrement?
Yep, I was working with the animals and working as an educator, and then I went to go work for Disney's Animal Kingdom. I was on the opening crew of that theme park when it opened in 1998, and then I went to a zoo in South Bend, Indiana, where I was a curator, and then made my way to Los Angeles and now Tucson, and I'm really happy to be here because this is a great zoo.
Oh yeah, we love the zoo, and you know, Jeff and I are very proud of our dad because, you know, we say it's his zoo. He created it out of sheer will. Back in the day, this zoo was comprised of a big berm that housed some billy goats, and they had a spitting camel and some alligators, and then there were some prairie dogs, but I guess they ran away, and now they're all over the golf course creating all sorts of holes. But and then the cool thing is, back in the day, also all the larger animals used to be kept in, like, 10 by 10 chain link fence boxes, and now we have these beautiful habitat enclosures that we can see and enjoy and learn about some of these magnificent animals in their own environment.
Well, this zoo really is a gem. I've traveled and visited over 200 zoos around the world, and I can tell you this is one of the best zoos of its size that I have ever been to. That's what attracted me to come to Tucson, as you can see the quality in this zoo, in the habitats for the animals, in the collection, in the education programs, and really the community support. You can't have a great zoo without a great community. You know, it doesn't work both ways. And the people of Tucson obviously love and support their zoo, and in return, we want to give them the best zoo that this community deserves.
Now, I'll put you on the spot a little bit. This might be a little politically tricky. What do you think the value of a zoo is?
I think it's important to the quality of life. I think that the zoo, a good zoo, is just as important to a community as a museum and a library, because the majority of our visitors, you know, that the Reed Park Zoo is 24 acres, but last year we received over 600,000 visitors. That makes us one of the top 50 most attended zoos in the nation.
And regardless of size?
Regardless of size. And our zoo received more visitors last year than zoos in much larger cities. But to me, the majority of those visitors will never have the opportunity to go to Africa, to go to Asia, even to see grizzly bears that are native right here in the United States. And this zoo gives them a perfect opportunity to spend a few hours and take a voyage around the world to see some very exotic animals and to learn about them. And in some cases, our visitors are empowered to make a difference for wildlife, to make a direct contribution to conservation of animals in the wild. And so I think the zoo is very important because it provides many things for many people. It's It's a great place for children to come and have fun. It's a great place for college students to come and do research projects, for senior citizens to come and take a nice walk. And really for the special events we have also, like Halloween or Zoo Lights right now, we provide so much to so many people in the community. And I really think that's why I say great communities have great zoos. And behind every great zoo is a great community.
Now, let's talk about the education component for a little bit, because like you said before, not everybody has the ability to, you know, get a plane ticket to Africa or South America or anywhere else in this world and see these animals. But seeing them live in person in this environment, especially younger people, they get a sense of how we need to be stewards of our environment and make sure that we're taking care of these animals, because there's a huge education component to this facility, the zoo.
Yes, you know, close encounters with wildlife or an encounter such as we provide here at Reed Park Zoo, where you can pay a small fee and be able to hand feed a giraffe, those are things that children are going to remember the rest of their lives. And when they become adults, it's experiences like that that will shape their thoughts and feelings about how they treat the natural world as adults. And really, you know, the children of today are going to inherit the earth of tomorrow. And so it's so important that we provide a really great experience for children and all ages to come in and learn about wildlife and experiences that it's meant to be seen. You know, we're not a zoo of 10-foot by 10-foot concrete cages like we were 40 years ago. We have vibrant habitats. We intertwine education messaging into each habitat. For instance, the new bear exhibit, we talk about how you can be safe camping around bears, how to bear-proof your campground, and challenges that bears face in the wild and the stories of the bears that we have here at the zoo.
Well, let's talk about some of the newest residents of the Reed Park Zoo, Finley and Ronan.
Finley and Ronan, you got it.
I was trying to meld the names together.
Well, that's okay. They arrived to the zoo about 3 weeks before I arrived. So
okay.
I'm the third newest resident. And, you know, Finley and Ronan are grizzly bears. And grizzly bears at one time used to be found here in Arizona. But grizzly bears have been wiped out over most of their original range of the United States. In areas where they still live, they can sometimes come into contact with people. And that was the challenge with Ronan and Finley. Their mother taught them some very bad bear habits, such as breaking into people's barns and eating grain, breaking into people's chicken coops and turning over people's garbage cans eating food. Kind of think about how we have the javelina, or some people might call it the peccary here in Tucson.
Right.
It's the same concept, except with grizzly bears, which can be very dangerous. These bears lived in Montana. There were three strikes and they were out, and if we had not taken them, these bears would have been destroyed.
So these animals were not bred in captivity. They were wild bears.
They were wild bears.
And causing some mischief. And,
yes.
And we essentially rescued them.
We did rescue them. And the key is that you said wild bears, because a lot of people don't realize the majority of animals you see in a zoo were born in a zoo. We don't go out and take animals from the wild very often. Usually if we do, it's to support a conservation program, or in the case of Ronan and Finley, to provide a home to an animal that probably would have been destroyed. Ronan and Finley did come from the wild, and so everything that zoo animals are used to, like doors and keepers and, you know, vehicles, was new to Ronan and Finley.
Right.
So it's a testament to the great work of our animal care staff and our curators, our veterinarian. They have really gotten Ronan and Finley acclimated and adjusted to a zoo lifestyle. They've really calmed down, where they're really a great display. People love to watch them. They swim in the pool. They have a grassy yard, some rocky areas, and a climbing area. And people really enjoy seeing them.
Yeah, these are beautiful animals. Now, it's funny because they were not on display for quite a while when they got here.
Right. It took them a few weeks to acclimate to the habitat and to the zoo. They arrived in August, and they really didn't go on display until late September. So it was something where they really had to adjust and get used to going in and out. You know, here at the zoo, you see the front of their habitat, but what you don't see is the backstage behind the scenes areas, where we have holding areas, we have pools behind the scenes, we have dens where they can retire to at night. So they really had to get the use and feel of the exhibit and get used to the staff that were taking care of them before we could open it up to the public.
Yeah, let's talk about the staff here for a little bit, because my recollection is that a lot of the staff at the zoo have been here for eons and are very skilled at taking care of these animals and know what their needs are and keep them entertained and all that, all the things to keep them very healthy.
Yes, you know, zoo people are, and maybe I'm biased because I've worked in zoos my whole life, but zoo people are some of the best zoo people. I'm sorry, zoo people are some of the best.
Like, you say like carny people.
Well, everyone who works here is passionate about what they do and what our mission is, and it shows. You know, the people here at the zoo who work with the animals, who teach programs to children, we bring our work homes with us because, you know, it's something, if there's a sick animal, we worry about it overnight. If an animal is going to give birth, someone will come in and check on that mother. You know, it is just something that everyone here is very dedicated to the mission of creating engaging educational experiences for our public. And our staff is excellent. I'm very fortunate to inherit an amazing staff when I arrived here at the zoo.
Yeah, they're pretty great. We're going to take a little break now as we wander off to another exhibit and enjoy our talking to our sponsors. We'll be back in a few in the Fred and Jeff Show.
Fred Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm not here with my little brother, Jeffrey, but I'm here with my dad, Jim Ronstadt. Hi, Dad.
Hello, Fred.
We're out at the Reed Park Zoo with Jason Jacobs, who's a new zoo administrator. And we were talking about the grizzlies a little while ago, and we have some more new residents of the zoo.
Yeah, what we're looking at right here are black and white ruffed lemurs. They're a species of primate found only on the island of Madagascar. And this was formerly a habitat that historically housed leopard, and then it housed mandrill. And what we've recently done is remeshed it, so it's a really nice light mesh that you can look through. We've re-landscaped it and add some other features for the animals, and of course brought in new animals, a pair of black and white rough lemurs. One of these animals came from the St. Louis Zoo, and the other animal came from the Gladys Porter Zoo in Brownsville, Texas. They are an endangered species. They're a very primitive species of primate. They're very beautiful, though. I mean, the black and white, it seems to me black and white animals, whether it be a killer whale or a giant panda or a penguin or a zebra, they're always popular.
Yeah, they are very popular. Now, but this guy also appeared in a series of very popular movies.
Yes, the film Madagascar features a bunch of lemurs in it, but ours don't sing and dance.
Oh, bummer. I was hoping.
Well, if they do, they haven't shown the staff that behavior yet, but if they did do that, I would really love to know, because stuff like that always helps with attendance.
Oh, that's right.
Just kidding. We don't want our animals to sing and dance. We want our animals to be animals. But they're very beautiful, and they have such leaping abilities, and you can really see them quite well in this new habitat. This is a pair, as we said before. We're hoping we have some breeding going on. Lemurs are interesting because they're one of the few primates which can give birth. They regularly give birth to more than one youngster. They can give birth to up to six. So we just care that we get some healthy youngsters, but it would be really great if we got six healthy youngsters.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second, because, you know, animals are animals, and they do what animals do.
Yes.
And, you know, there is a program that exists with all the zoos nationally. I don't know if it's international. But there's a breeding program.
Yes.
So let's talk about that, especially because we're talking about here some endangered animals that the zoo groups can actually do something about to help educate and preserve.
Right. Reed Park Zoo is accredited by a group called the AZA, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And the AZA runs conservation and breeding programs, SSPs, species survival programs, or plans, for endangered species and sometimes not endangered species, but to manage the population so we know who is breeding whom, making the best breeding recommendations based on the genetics and compatibility of the animals. So with the black and white ruffed lemurs, for instance, they looked at the genetics and determined that these two animals should breed, but they needed a zoo to take on that program, and we raised our hand here at Reed Park to take on black and white ruffed lemurs, and we're really excited to have them.
Now, that is a lot, saying a lot. I mean, you're not fully explaining that, because not only do you say, oh, we'll take them, but that means there's a whole lot of responsibility that goes along with that.
There's a lot of responsibility. There's a responsibility not just to house the breeding recommended pair, but if they should have offspring, we would have to hold their offspring for an extended period of time until they're old enough to go on to another zoo to start their own lemur families. Or in some cases, with populations, for instance, zebras are one, there's sometimes bachelor herds where it's all males because there's enough breeding animals at other facilities. So some zoos just have bachelor herds, some zoos have all female groups. You know, it really looks at the whole population, because, you know, lions, for instance, everybody loves lions, but lions aren't really endangered throughout most of Africa. Certain populations of lions are becoming threatened, but lions breed really, really easily in zoos. And if we let lions breed every year, we would be up to our eyeballs in lions. Now, fortunately, the lions we have at Reed Park Zoo are designated to breed, so let's keep our fingers crossed and we might see some cubs sometime soon.
Yeah, we want to
soon.
See some cubs here. Now, let's talk about, again, the enclosure, the habitat for these guys. Now, we were joking off air that, we build these beautiful enclosures. They're wonderfully foliated. Lots of cool stuff going on here. But typically, when the animals move in, it's like living in a fraternity house, and it gets ripped up pretty fast.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the challenges of our great horticulture team faces every day, is that, when you landscape houses for people, people don't go out and eat the vegetation or rip it up.
They're not eating the couches.
But here in the zoo, some of our inhabitants do. And, certain animals, bears and elephants, for instance, can be very hard on landscape. Where others, lemurs, you know, if you were to plant fruit trees, yes, they would probably eat every single bit of fruit. But they've really left a lot of the landscaping alone, so we're quite fortunate. So it's always that delicate balance to make the habitat look nice while not letting the animals tear up everything. But that's why we also, when we do give things for the animals to tear up, it's called behavioral enrichment. You'll see things like boxes or toys for the animals, and we call it a toy, but to the animal it helps stimulate their mind, it helps them physically exercise. If you think about it, an animal like a tiger in the wild would have to hunt for its food. And here in the zoo, you know, if you just give a tiger a bunch of meat, that's not really making it do all that much. So sometimes we give animals their meat in a box where they have to shred it up, or we place their food all around the enclosure so the animal has to move around to get it. That's all enrichment, and that's what we do here at the zoo.
So maybe we can get one of the council members to, like, you know, run through the exhibit to get the lions to get some exercise that way.
I would not advocate that.
Yeah, you wouldn't. One of the last things I want to talk about before we go on the break is you were talking earlier, we were teasing about the movie Madagascar and singing and dancing animals, and you really don't do that kind of thing in a zoo environment. You don't teach animals tricks. However, you do teach them some behaviors that help the staff, the animal keepers, maintain their healthy existence.
That's right. We would call that operant conditioning, and our elephant program is a good example of that. Our keepers never go in with our elephants. They always manage them through a barrier. But when I say they manage them, they're working with them to really make the keepers' lives easier and the elephants' lives easier. Elephants are trained to present their foot in case we need to do maintenance on their foot. They're trained to present an ear so we can draw blood. And that makes it much easier for a lot of animals. And a lot of animals are trained in that method here at the zoo. so that we can do minor medical procedures. We can draw blood. We can examine their mouth, their eyes. And so that's a lot of the training which we do. Not the training which people might have in their head of, you know, going in and making the animal do tricks.
Yeah, they're not going to jump and do flips for a piece of popcorn.
Our training is for the benefit of the husbandry, for the science of keeping these animals and taking care of them and providing the best quality of life we can for them.
I remember when the mandrills were here, and we had done a backstage kind of thing and saw this stuff in action. They would present their hands, check their fingers, their nails, their teeth, all that kind of stuff. And again, this is, I think, just another example of how well kept these animals are, so that people can understand about them and enjoy them.
Well, it's not just how well kept, but the great strains that the keepers and the curators and supervisors have all gone to make those relationships with the animals to be able to perform that operant conditioning behavior. I mean, it takes a lot of patience and training in some cases, and our staff is excellent at that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I imagine they're still working with Ronan and Finley.
Ronan and Finley, our bears, have made great progress since they've arrived.
That's awesome. So we're going to take one last break in the hour, and we're going to head over, I think, to go see a large herd of something or other that we have here at the zoo. We'll be back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and the distant choir. And the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell. And eyes full of tinsel and fire.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my dad, Jim. How are you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, Fred.
And we've been walking around the Reed Park Zoo talking to the new zoo administrator, Jason Jacobs. I finally got that right.
That's fine.
And we saw the new grizzlies, Ronan and Finley, saw the new lemurs, and now we're sitting here standing here beside some of our newer residents, a whole pack of elephants.
Yeah, this is Expedition Tanzania, really the largest expansion in the history of the zoo. It opened in 2012. And it's really been a treat to walk around the zoo with your dad here, because he's been telling me a lot about the history of this institution. And to me, this exhibit really shows, when you talk about the support of community and a partnership between a city-owned and operated zoo, a nonprofit zoological society, and the voice of the visitors, this shows you what can be done, which is, this is a phenomenal habitat.
Now, these elephants didn't get here, obviously, by mistake or, you know, it wasn't an accident. It took a lot of effort to make this happen, and we did have an old exhibit over near where the rhinos are, and we had an Indian elephant and an African elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Connie and Shaba. So those guys took a trip to San Diego, right?
Yes, Connie and Shaba went to San Diego. Connie has since passed on, but received excellent care in her later years in San Diego.
Absolutely. And let's make a point of this. San Diego was better equipped to handle geriatric elephants than we were.
They specialize in that. And San Diego's sister facility, the San Diego Zoo's Safari Park, sent us a breeding herd of elephants, which is composed of an adult bull named Mabu, two adult females named Samba and Lugili, and two of Samba's offspring, Punga and Sudzu. And what's really exciting is that Samba is pregnant, and we're expecting an elephant calf to be born sometime in the summer of 2014. We are hoping for a healthy calf. It would be the first elephant born in the state of Arizona. And this is really just an amazing program that we have here. And I've seen elephants in the wild throughout Africa. I've also seen them in the wild in India. And to me, this is just like watching a wild herd of elephants. It's a great experience.
No, this is not a 10 by 10 box. I mean, this is a fairly substantial area.
Yes, this Expedition Tanzania as a whole takes over a quarter of our zoo. And people say, well, that's a lot of space for elephants. But, you know, this is definitely an amazing experience. As I said before, this is one of those exhibits where people can not only just come in and see the elephants, they can learn about them in so many ways, our interpretive graphics that we have, but also we have the opportunity here for our visitors to make direct contributions to elephant conservation in the wild. Reed Park Zoo supports elephant conservation in Tanzania, for instance, and in many ways those conservation biologists, you know, we work with them, and then they come here several times per year to talk to our staff, and it's a great program.
I've got to interject a little bit before we go any further. I think this is an absolutely wonderful exhibit. It was in the talking stage when I retired back in 1998, but a funny story about the exhibit in the middle of the zoo, so to speak, when we had elephants. Then city manager Joe Valdez was doing a TV program, or a filming for a program.
It was like Topic of Tucson.
Yeah, Topic of Tucson, and he wanted to be in front of the elephant enclosure and had his back to the elephants, and he was talking on, and Connie went over and took a big snoot of water, and as he was giving his presentation, came over and just absolutely drenched him. I thought I was going to get a call from him to have elephant steaks, but he got over it quick and laughed a lot about it. That was an exhibit that needed change, and I sure am tickled that the city of Tucson and the community itself got together and put this together.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about the environment. I mean, this is a very, very large enclosure, and you know, you had made a point of that, and people ask why. And one of the reasons is, you know, again, keeping a healthy herd, you need real estate.
Yeah, and these are large animals. I mean, we have a behind-the-scenes barn, which our visitors don't really see, although we do have it open for special education programs. The barn gives us the flexibility to do medical procedures, isolate animals if we need to. We have two separate yards, which as of right now are combined into one yard. We have mud wallows, pools, shade structures. We have a lot of what we call deadfall, which are these big logs and dead trees which we can hide food under, which forces the elephant to push those logs up to get the food. We also have holes in this artificial mud bank wall. It's made to look like a mud bank you'd experience in Tanzania, but we have holes in those that we can fill with food that the elephants have to put their trunk in and to look around. So really, we want to keep them occupied during the day, and our elephant team does a magnificent job of doing that.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the gestation a little bit, because we are expecting a new arrival in midsummer.
Yes, so for all you mothers out there that had your infants in you for 9 months, imagine this: an elephant is pregnant for 22 to 23 months. And so you can really only determine that they're pregnant through hormonal urinary analysis about when they're about a year into the pregnancy. So we determined that back in September, and we're really looking forward to the birth this summer. Our staff is working with the staff at the San Diego Zoo who own these elephants. They're on loan to us from San Diego to ensure a birth, healthy birth. We're going to do everything we can for the mother, and this is something really for the community to be proud of. Like we said, it's a partnership between the city of Tucson, the Reed Park Zoological Society, and the community.
So yeah, there's no EPT for elephants. You gotta wait a year.
No. There's we are so excited about it, because it really shows you how elephants interact in a herd situation. You know, right now we have in front of us all five of them. And they're just, you know, interacting with each other, searching for food. And they walked all the way from the other side of the paddock over here as soon as we started recording. So I don't know if you have elephant magnetism, but they seem to...
They want
to
be radio stars.
They want to be radio stars.
Yeah, so the interesting thing is, you know, animal or elephants are grazers. I mean, they move around all day long looking for stuff.
Well, when we say grazers, they will eat grass, but they're also browsers. They can use that trunk to pull a whole tree down if they want to. So
I think they've tried a couple times here.
Yes, they have. They have. They're very powerful animals. I mean, it always amazes me growing up. I was always one of those kids that knew exactly what they wanted to do when they grew up. I wanted to work in a zoo, and I would always get upset when people said the lion is the king of the jungle. Because if there was a king of the jungle or a king of the wild, it would undoubtedly be the elephant. There is no animal that is more powerful. And yes, lions are majestic and gorgeous looking, but Mabu's, our bull male, is the largest resident of the state of Arizona. You know, who's going to argue with him?
I could think of people with egos who are a little bit bigger, but you're right. I mean, these are just magnificently wonderful animals. And, you know, put a bull elephant up against a lion, I think...
Well, we wouldn't want to pit them against each other. But
No.
It's a simple matter of looking at the anatomy, and, you know, you've got an animal that's several tons... really is the king of Africa. I mean, they're huge, huge animals.
So, besides you know, the possibility of maybe some new lemurs, definitely a new elephant. What do you see on the horizon for the zoo? I mean, this is sort of like, you know, you're the new guy. You know, everyone might be a little bit, you know, I don't want to say jaded, but, you know, take things for granted. So you're the innocent eye coming into a new community. What do you see for the zoo?
Well, I see that not so much jaded. I see so much potential. We have an enthusiastic staff, a dedicated core of membership from the Zoological Society and support from the Parks Department and the city. And, you know, my goal is to make this the best zoo it can be. A zoo does not have to be 100 acres to be an excellent zoo. And Reed Park Zoo is already an excellent zoo. Our plans are to make it better. I mean, there's obviously areas we could add some more exhibits for some key smaller animals. Two of our long-term goals are to build a new health center and to one day build a hippopotamus habitat. Those projects are years away, but they are on the drawing board. And I really think... to give Tucson the best zoo we can give it, because that's what the people of this community deserve.
Take a minute real quick and talk about the Zoological Society, because this zoo doesn't operate off of a city budget alone. It isn't operating off of entrance fees. We have this great organization that really makes the zoo possible.
Yes, the zoo is owned and operated by the city of Tucson, and then we have a partnership with our nonprofit support organization, the Reed Park Zoological Society, and they do have some paid staff, but a lot of the people who help them are the trustees who are volunteering their time to make the zoo better for the whole community. And it truly is a partnership. Everything that you see here is possible between the partnership between all the entities which we've mentioned, and it shows you what great people can do when they set their mind to create an amazing experience for our community.
Yeah, if somebody wants to join the Tucson Zoological Society, they just need to go to, I think it's like Tucson Zoo.
Yep, or reedparkzoo.org, either one will
and
take you there.
There'll be a link to the Zoological Society. And like a family membership's not that expensive, and the value that you get having the ability to come in whenever you want, the special events. Well, let's talk about the zoo lights. Is coming up.
Yes, Zoo Lights goes through December 23rd. It's every evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And there's not really animals out during Zoo Lights, but it is magnificent. And I mean, we have some great entertainment. The lights are beautiful, and it's amazing to see the zoo lit up at night.
And it snows every 5 minutes, I understand.
It does snow in a section of the zoo.
Used to be in the polar bear section, but now it's the grizzly section.
Grizzly, that's right. And you know, there's so much. You mentioned the website, but we're also on Facebook, and that's the best way to stay informed on what's going on at the zoo. follow us on Facebook, check out our website. Every time you come here, you're always going to see either a new behavior by your favorite animal. Maybe you're going to see a baby, maybe a new animal. Maybe you're going to participate in an education program and learn something new. The zoo can be many things for many people.
Well, that also brings up, this is a relatively new facility, the education building. Was just dedicated a few years ago.
Yes, the Conservation Learning Center. It is the home of our education department, and we do have animal displays in there, but we have a wide variety of programs for students. We have teacher training workshops. We have outreaches where the zoo staff go out in the community. And there's just many opportunities if you want to come and get more involved. We have a docent program for people who want to volunteer.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's talk a little bit about that, because, again, this is the community zoo. And, you know, the government can't be everything, can't do everything. And we have a lot of volunteers that help out and make this really successful.
We have over 100 volunteers. We have animal care volunteers who help out our animal keepers. We have our wonderful docents who act as educators in the zoo, teaching and helping us observe animals in some cases. If it's something, if you'd love to get to know a great bunch of people, and if you have some free time on your hands, give us a call here at the zoo. Or check us out on the website to learn about volunteer opportunities. We really have a great group of dedicated volunteers who do an amazing job for us.
Okay, last thing, you said during the break you wanted to ask the old man some questions.
Well, he's been telling me all about the zoo and the story. He mentioned the story before about one of your former politicians getting drenched by the elephant.
Joel Valdez, yeah.
Valdez, city manager.
Our elephants, I can tell you, although they might resemble the symbol of a political party, our elephants are not affiliated. We abide by city code. And
they're nonpartisan elephants.
They're nonpartisan. Our elephants are here for everybody. They're here for everybody to enjoy and appreciate and learn about them. And I know you've had a great deal in making the zoo what it is today, so it's great to walk around with you here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And one little story about your mother, my wife.
Her birthday today.
Her birthday is going to be a great one for her. And she was very instrumental in getting the giraffe exhibit into the zoo. We were talking about it one night. A couple weeks later, Dave Bloom, one of the Bloom brothers, came into my office and said, I'd like to donate a giraffe. And lo and behold, the giraffe exhibit came about.
That's nice. That's really great. Well, Jason, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure
having you all come out here.
Very
nice seeing you.
Dad, thanks for being out here at the zoo with us.
My pleasure.
And we will talk to you all next week on The Fred and Jeff Show.